Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game tonight, a big one. Predators and the Blackhawks, Bridgestone Arena. The Preds are 5-0-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks, although two of those have been in overtime. But they need it. I mean, I'm just being completely honest. They need it. If you look at moneypuck.com, which I have started to do a lot, the Predators, who had a 60% chance of making the playoffs last week, now have a 28% chance of making the playoffs. If they beat Chicago in regulation, they have a 35.4% chance to make the playoffs. If they lose in regulation, it drops all the way down to 18.3, a 17-point swing in terms of percentage points of making the playoffs. So they lost the two against Carolina. Now they have three with Chicago. By the way, at the same time, Dallas, who I expect to be the toughest competitor for that playoff spot, has four with Detroit. So yesterday, Caroline and I were kicking back ideas about what we were going to do on the show today. And you asked me a question surrounding the Predators. So what was the question you asked me?
I said, what do we need to see against the Blackhawks that we did not see against Carolina?
Okay, that is not a bad topic. That is, in fact, a normally a standard radio topic. But what did I say back to you?
You said, put your LSU hat on and think, would you say, what do we need to see LSU against Mississippi State that we didn't see against Alabama?
Bingo.
And that's valid.
Bingo. And that's how I look at this. Because I understand what Caroline was asking when she said, hey, what do we need to see against Chicago that we didn't see against Carolina? And my response would be, if the Titans played, I don't know, the Kansas City Chiefs, and they got run out of Arrowhead, which is essentially what happened this past weekend for the Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes. But if they played the Chiefs and got run out of Arrowhead, would we sit back and say, okay, what do we need to see this week against Cincinnati? If the Titans dominated Cincinnati, would we feel good about the loss against Kansas City? The answer is probably no. It stinks. But the meaning of this series with the Blackhawks is infinitely different from the meaning of the series with Carolina. Making the playoffs was important in both of them, but it is the only thing that matters in this series. Winning three games, how they play, doesn't matter. All that matters is that they do win at least two of these three games, maybe, and I actually think probably all three. Adam Vingan was on Darren Donick and Chase earlier today, and they were discussing Joe Rexroad this morning on Robbie and Rexroad, said that they needed to win X amount of, and Adam pretty much said three games against the Blackhawks, they need to win all three. Take a listen.
The Predators are 5-0 against the Blackhawks this season. I believe my dear friend Joe Rexroad said that the Predators needed at least 4 points out of these three games. I think they need at least five, if not all six.
Okay, so Adam says they need to pretty much win all three games, and I would agree. What mattered last week about Carolina was not so much the playoffs. In fact, and I'm following now the percent chances on Money Puck all the time, and I'm not totally sure they're all right, but I kind of expected them to lose both games to Carolina anyway. But last week was a measuring stick performance. That was one where you wanted to go out and you wanted to see how close you were to the top team in your division and your most likely playoff opponent. You had four games, two against Tampa Bay, two against Carolina. You played well in one of them against a backup goalie. But other than that, you lost 3-0 on Saturday night to Tampa Bay. Andre Vasilevsky in net, best goalie in the league. And you got hammered. I shouldn't say hammered. That's not fair. You got thoroughly beaten. Clearly we know who the better team was after those games against Carolina. But that was different. This is now just pure survive and advance. This is like the NFL playoffs. It's funny when I hear coaches say things, or David Poyle say things like, well, every game for us now is a playoff game. Well, that's not really true. Because they went to Carolina, and we knew there was a pretty good chance they were going to lose both games to Carolina. If you play Carolina in a playoff series and those two games happen, you're coming back to Bridgestone Arena tonight, and if you don't win, it's over. That's a playoff series. You're coming back to Bridgestone Arena tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks, and if you don't win tonight, it's not over, but it ain't good. Less than 20% chance of making the playoffs. if you lose tonight. So what I cared about last week, what I wanted to watch those games for last week, doesn't apply much to this week. In fact, I argued last week they needed to take one of the two Carolina games because I was uneasy about what the Chicago games were going to look like. That is a playoff front. But the truth is, when I sat down and turned on the TV Thursday night to watch Carolina, I wanted to see, was David Poile right? Was David Poile right about how he feels about this group? How much he believes in what they're capable of? About the idea that they could, with this group, the way they're playing, the chemistry they have, the goaltending that is at a totally different level? Was he right? Was I wrong? Was I wrong for approaching the trade deadline, even though they were winning, even though it was exciting, even after a Thursday night game against lowly Detroit, where I said, now I kind of understand it. Now I see where fans are coming from. Now I see why they don't want to sell. I get it. I still would sell, but I get it. That's what last week was.
And I don't think you were wrong for thinking that David Poile should still sell the trade deadline. I also don't think that the people who didn't want to sell were wrong.
I have a hard time with that. I mean, if you were to play Carolina in the first round of the playoffs, do you think the Predators have any chance of beating them?
No.
Okay. So, see, that's where, again, I don't want to overreact to two games. But I only think it's fair if we reacted after the Tampa win Tuesday night on Wednesday's show, saying, okay, how much should we walk our comments back? I'm not saying should we have walked our comments back then, which I didn't really walk our comments back. But you say, okay, should we walk our comments back then? Then you see the weekend that they just had against Carolina, and now it's like, no, walk them back. Or originally walk back what you walked back to the dots,
I need to write this down.
Yes, go back, go forward, whatever. One step forward, two steps, however you want to call it. I mean, I think there's something to this, though, that David Poile was banking on the idea that if this team gets into the playoffs, that, hey, you know, playoffs are a crapshoot. The goalie can get hot. Anything can happen. And sometimes teams are just better than you. Like, I'm sorry. I thought Saros was incredible Saturday night. I thought Saros. In the first period, the Carolina Hurricanes were on pace for 60 shots. 60 shots. 3 goals on 60 shots. The Predators were on pace for 15. That wasn't, you know, Saros had an okay game. You know, Saros was great, but still, you can't beat that team. And that is where, to your point about, I don't think if you wanted to sell, you were wrong today. And I don't think, I kind of disagree. I kind of think that, you know, we got a little reality check this past week with Carolina. We got a reality check about where you really stand. But to the point, last week was the measuring stick week. Last week was the, can you compete with Tampa Bay? Can you compete with Carolina week? This week is not about whether or not you can compete with Chicago. To be completely frank, I'm not sure I really care if you can compete with Chicago. It is a, if you don't win this week, you're probably not making the playoffs. If you don't win this week, then everybody looks like a dummy because we're sitting here talking about Carolina, Tampa Bay, and you can't even get past the Blackhawks. And even though you're 5-0-0 against them this year, I think they think that they have outplayed you in the games you've played them this year. And that's a very scary feeling because they're walking in here today with, I think, let's see, I wrote this down, whatever their percent chances were to make the playoffs. Chicago, 10.6. They're walking in here with their playoff chances on life support. They know they need all three games. For example, if they lose in regulation today, it goes down to 6.1%. They know how big this is. You're getting their best shot 3 games in a row. Can you beat their best shot 3 times in a row? Like that's, and so to me, I guess I'm looking at it differently. Last weekend was the pretender or contender week. This is the, are you going to make the playoffs week? It's kind of like the Titans. At the end of the year last year, we knew the Titans were going to most likely make the playoffs. Now, at the end, it was all funny business with Miami and Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Indy. And it was all this funny business. But the Titans played Green Bay at Green Bay. And I believe if they had won that game, they would have won the division, though I can't be certain. but they played Green Bay at Green Bay, the second to last game of the year on Sunday Night Football. And they got housed. The next week they played the Texans. Beat the Texans, you win the division. The Green Bay game was the measuring stick game. That was elite quarterback on the road, bad conditions. Like, let's see if you can go play your game. Decent defense. Let's see if Derrick Henry can run against them. Oh, he can't. Let's see if your defense that you guys are trying to tell me is a little bit better. Let's see if your defense can stop Aaron Rodgers in the pack. Oh, they can't. At that point, I'm like, okay, pretender, not a contender. The next week against the Texans, Deshaun Watson threw for 300-plus yards. They scored 30-something points. That was just, hey, find a way to win. That's how I feel about this week. Just find a way to win. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. But I do wonder that, right? Like, at LSU, would you guys ever lose a game to Alabama, beat Mississippi State, and then say, well, hey, this week we got the pass rush figured out because we sacked Mississippi State three times? Or would you kind of be like, eh, it was Mississippi State?
You would say, well, it was Mississippi State. And you would also say, well, it was Alabama. And it depends on the year. You know, if I'm talking in 2019, I'm not going to say, oh, well, it was Alabama because that was a championship year. But when you're looking at a typical year in the SEC, if you lose to Alabama, that's something that you expect. And that's also what we saw from the Predators. Kind of expect them to lose to the Hurricanes. Doesn't put them in a better position just because we expected it, but we did expect it. And it's, I think for the Predators now, it's not, okay, what did we see the last week? It's just get over it and win games.
615-737-1025. We'll get to your thoughts on that. Plus, Adam Vingan brings up a point that I think I need to level with the fans. I want the fans to hear me out on the Preds front. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You know I love betting on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That's right. It's my official sportsbook app. One of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about the FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called the Same Game Parlay Bet, and you can only find them on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So many options. Money line, point spread, first basket score, player points, player rebounds, so you name it, they got it all. Right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with Same Game Parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every single day. That's why I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a Same Game Parlay using the promo code JGM at signup. That's promo code JGM. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
As you watched your teammates turn around the season while you were out, what steps did you take physically and mentally to ready yourself so that when you did come back, you could step right in and keep that momentum going?
Yeah, I mean, I skated. I was out for over 6 weeks, and I skated for over five of them. It was fortunately I was able to skate pretty hard, but wasn't kind of battle ready for a while until tonight. But yeah, I think for me, it's just trying to stay as engaged as possible, and also, you know, get the mind fresh and the body fresh at the same time. So I put the effort in, and you know, both you know on the ice and you know in the weight room and on the table. So. Yeah, I mean, it was good to feel good out there, but, you know, it feel a lot better with the win tonight.
There you go. That was Matt Duchene back out on the ice against Carolina. Still not doing much. Caroline, we talked on this show on Friday. Corey Curtis and I were kicking it back and forth. The idea that I believe Matt Duchene is going to play better than he has played with the Predators. That, you know, just like everybody else who has come back into the lineup, and all of a sudden, after coming back into the lineup, they have played a lot better because they've heard the criticism and they've seen the young guys step up and they feel the pressure and they get out there and they play. And I was, even though it was one game, I was still hoping for a little bit better from Matt Duchene. But I'm willing to give him the chance. I think he deserves the chance. But then I kind of think this is it. Like, I kind of think that if Matt Duchene comes back into the lineup on this playoff push and Matt Duchene doesn't do much, then what? You know, and at that point, I think if he doesn't do anything between now and the end of the year, then I think they've got to find a way to move on. Then I think it's finally time that you trade an asset to get rid of them. You have somebody take it on. Then it's just time to move on. No disrespect to him. I don't think he's like Kyle Turris, where he's bad for the locker room in theory. I don't think he's, he just isn't worth all the hype. And it's not his fault that he got all the hype, but he's just not worth it if he doesn't make the most of this chance. So to me, this is the last chance for him. But I feel like a lot of Predators fans have already just kind of thrown him aside, that their anger is so built up about Matt Duchene, they're ready to move on. Adam Vingan was on Darren Donick and Chase today. Here's what he said.
Look, Matt Duchene was not putting up points before he was hurt. And, I tweeted out the article this morning, and one person responded, he didn't put up any points on Saturday, so he's worthless, and it's right back to where he was when he was in the lineup. I think the fan base at large has turned on Matt Duchene.
Do you agree? And do you think there's any way for a guy who has celebrated so unnecessarily when they signed him, do you think there's any way for Matt Duchene to get back into the proper eyes of the fan base, or do you think that probably just delaying the inevitable, which is that it is ultimately going to be time for him to go?
I think you have to give him this series to prove himself, the series with Chicago.
You're going three games.
I'll give him the whole series just because in my mind, I'm approaching it as kind of like a playoff, like a grouping of games, just because they are all so important. I would say it's difficult to judge him in his production coming back playing the best team in the division. I think that's a little bit difficult to judge him just based off of those two games with Carolina. I say if you don't see any production from him tonight, you have to see big contributions in these next two games. So I think give him the series. And if you aren't really seeing any production from him, then, it's time to go.
I'm willing to give him the whole rest of the year. I really am. I mean, look, you made the commitment to him, so you got to give him the whole rest of the year. But man, I got to tell you, the Matt Duchene thing, I always understood it. But I heard all the warning signs from people that said, hey, he's not a big boy forward. You think you're getting, he's not an elite player. He's not. But I just kept saying, okay, well, we'll see. Because if David Poile loves this guy this much, there's got to be something there. And don't think that some of my angst or some of my, my belief about what should be the future of David certainly revolves around the fact that this was like a three-year thing, a three-year buildup of hype surrounding Matt Duchene. I think it's certainly a part of it. I think Matt Duchene is a better player than he's played for the Predators. I've seen him in other places. Even though I was concerned about the drop in production at Ottawa, or the way that it didn't affect anything when he went to Ottawa, in spite of what all they gave up to get him, I kind of felt like, okay, we'll see. But I still think he's a better player than he has been here. He's not as good as he was hyped here, but I think he's a better player than that. So I'm willing to give him the rest of the year. It's time for Caroline's headlines.
Sorry about that.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Newly signed Seahawks defensive end Alden Smith is wanted by Louisiana police for an alleged second-degree battery. Happened a couple days ago. Investigators say that he beat someone up in a coffee shop in New Orleans. This isn't his first offense. He has multiple DUIs, illegal possession of assault weapon charges, and allegations of domestic assault.
Oh, yeah. He's in the rap sheet Hall of Fame.
How much has to happen for teams to just say, we got to let you go?
I want to say this about Alden Smith. This has got to be the first thing that he's done wrong in a couple of years. I got to give Alden Smith a little credit. He was a perpetual rule breaker, but I feel like he took like a 5-year period off while trying to get reinstated, gets reinstated into the league. I'm nervous a guy like that can't play. He goes out, shows in Dallas he can play. Well, hey, maybe Alden Smith's turned over a new leaf. Here comes this. Nope, guess not.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that, you know, if you take those 4 years off and you say that you're a changed man and you come back and do that, that's not an accident. You very, very much so meant to do that.
That being said, though, the Seahawks are a team that doesn't care about that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't expect the Seahawks to really care about this.
Earlier, we talked about the best quarterbacks to come from each state and which quarterbacks came to the Titans from certain states. The most quarterbacks from California have played for the Titans. The best quarterback state was Louisiana. Based off of ESPN's algorithm to rank best quarterback versus worst quarterback and their production, what do you think the worst quarterback state is? And this one surprised me.
The worst quarterback state of all time based off of ESPN's algorithm.
It's a formula based off of expectations given the state's resources.
I don't know. This reminds me of last year when the ESPN FPI put the Dallas Cowboys as like the fourth best team in the league. And I went bananas. And I like we had Fitz on the show and I literally called Fitz to the carpet. Like, because I'm like, the Dallas Cowboys aren't that good. And Fitz is like, no, these numbers, these analytics, this data, these people know what they're talking about. Fitz reached out to, like, the ESPN info team where they explained why they had the Cowboys ranked so high. And I read it, and I processed it, and I still thought it was BS. So I have a hard time with this. I'm going to say Texas is the worst quarterback state.
You're right.
Okay, yeah.
Texas
okay.
is the worst All quarterback right. state. They have no quarterbacks in the NFL Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Quote, the collective approximate value of the state's quarterbacks is watered down because many are not key contributors. Yet, in 2018 and 2019, one out of four quarterbacks who started in week one came from Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to guess, without your algorithms, analytic data, evidence, Texas is a better state for quarterbacks than West Virginia. I'm just guessing. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go in that direction.
Yeah, that one surprised me. And I think since there is so much expectation and so many players that come out of Texas, there's, you know, the high ceiling that they just haven't reached. I don't know if that's just an impossible ceiling to reach, and that's why they are so low. But surprisingly, Texas, according to ESPN, is the worst quarterback.
Well, if you took who meets their expectations the most as a way to rank it, the Cincinnati Bengals would be like fifth in the league in terms of meeting expectations because they meet expectations.
We just have no
expectations for the Bengals.
Right. Mel Kiper ranked his favorite players at certain positions, not necessarily the best players at certain positions, but guys that he thought weren't rated high enough or just he likes the way that they play. His favorite wide receiver, Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I mean, the more people talk about Elijah Moore, the more just, you know, gaga, they go over him. TD loves him. Cole Kublik, SEC Network analyst, was talking about why is Elijah Moore not getting talked about. Now Mel is all in on Elijah Moore. I mean, if Elijah Moore doesn't work out in the NFL, whatever team he goes to, and I know a lot of mocks and a lot of things have him going to the Titans. If Elijah Moore doesn't work out, somebody's got some explaining to do because everybody just seems to absolutely love Elijah Moore. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about the kid, but boy, I tell you, everybody just seems to get all fired up, all jazzed up, all excited, all whatever you want to call it up. They seem to kind of get that way. Caroline's headlines, as always here on the program. Big game for the Predators. Again, 17-point swing and percent chance of making the playoffs. They're at 28 right now. Robbie Stanley will join us next. We'll get Robbie's thoughts on the importance of tonight's game and kind of what he took away from the weekend. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They are proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. I know this, and I know that they will do a great job if you use them at your home because I use Hiller at my home. And guess what? Hiller is giving away free vacations for you and your family this month. With every purchase of a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems, Hiller is giving you a free week-long vacation. With every purchase of a new tankless water heater, Hiller is giving you a free weekend-long vacation, and they'll pay for your gas with a $100 gas card. Choose from over 400 Marriott, Wyndham, Hilton, or Hyatt hotel properties. Take advantage of this unbelievable deal while you can. These deals are only available for a limited time, so make sure you schedule today. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be or the service is free. And again, I can back that up. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller. Proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols, Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Big game for the Preds. We'll bet it in just a little bit on Carolines. By the way, big game tonight. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now onto our text line at 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text the word golf now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win. Big game tonight, according to MoneyPuck.com. If the Predators win in regulation, their chance of making the playoffs goes up from 28% to 35%. If they lose in regulation, down to 18%. In overtime, 31%. If they lose, 23%. And it's a big one for Chicago. If they win in regulation, 16%. If they lose in regulation, 6%. Robbie Stanley joins us now. Robbie and Rex wrote NHL.com. Robbie, I look at this game tonight, and I think that it's kind of, I don't want to like sit there and do the cliche of a must win, but I really wanted the Predators to take one of those Carolina games to kind of ease the pressure of this. I look at Dallas with four games in a row against Detroit. I don't feel very good right now about the Predators. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think this is a big one. This is one you got to have if you're the Predators. You're at home. You've had a lot of success against the Blackhawks so far this year. You're 5-0 against Chicago. We talked, you know, so much about Carolina, 0-5-1 against the Hurricanes. You've got to make sure the trend against Chicago continues. I like the way the Predators have played for the most part against the Blackhawks this year. They've gotten phenomenal goaltending from both UC Saros and from Pecorine as well. You need to take care of business on home ice. There'll be more fans in there tonight. So that's exciting. You got to use that energy that'll be in the building. This is a big one. I said this morning, 4 out of 6 points at least this week. I think you feel okay about it if you're the Predators, preferably 5, or obviously you take all 6 as well. But I think you got to start tonight at home. This is going to be, I think, your best chance.
Robbie, something that bothers me about the Predators is I think there's like this belief of, hey, just get into the playoffs and anything can happen. Now, they've kind of already played their hand as far as that's concerned with what they did at the trade deadline. But I think we have this belief that they could steal games because of the goalies. I thought Saros on Saturday was as good as you could be, and there's no way you can't steal a game like that, especially the way the first period played out. That has me very concerned about any real possibility of if they make the playoffs, what happens.
Well, eventually you've got to have the puck, right? I mean, that was the big problem for the Predators against Carolina, and Carolina is kind of a different beast in that regard. But they just had the puck the whole game. I mean, UC Saros was flat-out phenomenal in that game on Saturday night against Carolina. So I agree. Like, I think that's a nice theory, and we've seen certainly goaltenders do that before in the playoffs. But you got to have more with it. I mean, you've got to have some offensive punch on the other side. Jared, I think it's pretty obvious right now, especially on the power play. They are really missing Elie Tolvanen and really missing Philip Forsberg because that power play is not even close to the same without those two guys. So I agree with you. It's going to take more than that, whether it's Carolina or Tampa Bay or Florida stinks in there and wins the division as well. Yes, it's going to take a superhuman level from UC Saros to continue to play this way, but you're also going to have to bear down and get some timely goal scoring. They've done that against these inferior teams, and I realize they did it as well in Tampa Bay last week, winning 7-2. You've got to find a way to get into the threes and fours more consistently against some of these really good teams.
How nervous would you be if you were a Predators fan about these three games against Chicago, especially given the fact that in spite of your 5-0-0 record against them, these games have been really close?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be nervous. I mean, Chicago's playing well right now. They've won 3 out of their last 4 games. John Dietz, who covers the Blackhawks, is a beat writer there. Had a crazy stat yesterday. In the last 17 games, Patrick Kane got 12 points against the Predators. One goal, he's shooting 2.2%. I mean, that's an absurdly low number against the Predators. So you have to think at some point he's going to break out of that. And we've seen it. Him and DeBrincat can take over games by themselves. So I think you're absolutely nervous. I think you're nervous that, you know, the 5-0-0 record you can be encouraged about. You can also say, okay, at some point, is that going to turn around in this series as well? So I think there's a lot to be nervous about. You made the decision at the deadline to keep this thing together and to try to go into the playoffs. I've been on record saying I didn't necessarily agree with that move. I think the Predators should have been at least a soft seller at the deadline, and you follow it up with a 1-2 week after that. You've absolutely got to have it this week, and your big money guys have got to play like your big money guys this week.
So we have a rule on this show, Robbie, that you can't get in trouble for something you haven't done, but if they lose tonight, I already told you what Money Puck says, but if they lose tonight, then what?
You got to win the next two and hope to God that Detroit sneaks up and beats Dallas somewhere along the line here. I mean, to me, honestly, Jared, like if I'm like weighing the two teams right now, if I'm a Predators fan, I'm more worried about Dallas than I am Chicago at this point. I think sure. The Predators match up well with Chicago. I think their style of play matches up well with Chicago. Their forecheck gives the defensemen for the Blackhawks absolute fits, and Chicago's defensemen, quite frankly, are just not very good. If they can play that way tonight, I think you're going to create havoc if you're the Predators. What I'd be worried about if I was a Predators fan more than Chicago games, even though you got to be concerned about that this week, is you're playing Detroit four times. If Dallas wins three out of those four, they win four out of those four, they can pass you without you doing anything. So that to me right now, they got Tyler Seguin coming back maybe next week. There's a lot to be concerned about if you're a Predators fan with the Stars, but you just got to start by taking care of your own business and hope you get some help from the Red Wings.
Robbie, do you think, last one for you, do you think that not selling at the deadline and then what we saw this past week with Carolina and now how desperate it feels for the Predators right now, do you think all this can backfire on David Poile, or do you think that he's just kind of that he, I don't want to say he's gotten away with so much, but he's done so much and been here so long that people just kind of shrug and say, you know, he went for it, it didn't work out.
Well, I'll answer it this way. Like, I don't anticipate that David Poile's job is going to be in danger if they miss the playoffs. Now, look, I don't know what the offers were, but I think it was pretty clear in his press conference the other day that he got several offers from Matias Ekholm, and he got some offers from Mikael Granlund as well. So, look, I don't know if they were a first-round pick, second-round pick for Granlund, third-round pick, what the offer was. But, I mean, that's some good draft capital that you could have gotten back in return. If you get it and you don't make the playoffs and you lose Granlund, that's a tough sell, I think. I mean, I think if you're a Predators fan, you've got every right to be upset at that point. I think it does ease the blow a little bit if you're able to get Granlund back in there, and you can just spin it if you're David Poile and the Predators of, yeah, we kept on to him and we signed into a longer-term deal, which David Poile did confirm in his press conference that he was interested in doing. But, yes, I think it was at least a significant portion of this fan base that thought it was the wrong decision not to sell anyway. And if they end up missing the playoffs, that's going to be a tough look for David Poile.
Yeah. Robbie Stanley, see you tomorrow morning, Robbie.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Yep. I think it's interesting what Robbie brought up is kind of, hey, there's a lot of the fan base that was against not selling at the deadline. I would say this, the amount of people in the local media that were against not selling, me, Mark Howard, Adam Vingan, Joe Rexroad, you just heard Robbie right there. I mean, there's more and more than just us. This is going to be the most criticism David Poile will ever receive from the local media here if this team fails to make the playoffs. And I think it will be fair. But it's just, it's a different world listening to Robbie talk about it. Before, it used to kind of be like, hey, whatever David says goes, let's just let it go. And I don't see that as much anymore. It feels like it's a maturing of the fan base. That being said,
yeah,
let's bet. It's time for Carolina.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
By the way, can I say something for the record?
Yes, please.
So I was reading the text line. Someone's mad because I call the headlines with Caroline segment Caroline's headlines, and they're mad that I'm not getting it right. I'm like, we didn't even have a name for that segment. We just put it all together.
Yeah, we thought about it for a few days, and then every day we were like, oh, no, yeah, we'll think about it. We'll think of one.
We just kept putting it off.
And then Monday morning when I joined the show, we thought, okay, yeah, no, that works. So with my two segments, one being named Carolines and the other Headlines with Caroline, shout out to my parents for naming me Caroline because it really came in handy.
Although yesterday I texted the wrong Caroline on accident. So.
No. That is tricky.
It is definitely.
Having a significant other and a coworker both named Caroline.
We'll see where that goes. Okay, what are we betting today?
So big game for the Preds tonight, so I am keeping it in the NHL Central. We've got Carolina-Tampa Bay, which I think is going to be a
big game.
A really, really good game. And if you're watching the Preds game and in a flip over in the commercial break, if you can, I think that would be a great game to watch. I am taking the Carolina money line. Lightning have lost 7 of their last 12. They're not looking as hot as they have earlier in the season. And Carolina just has the best power play in the NHL. Vasilevsky is back in the net, so I'm expecting it to be a low-scoring game. I'm taking the under 5.5.
So I think I will go ahead and take the over just to be different from you.
Okay.
My gut tells me that Carolina is better than Tampa Bay after having watched them the last couple of weeks, the last 2 weeks. That having been said, if they were to play a best of seven playoff series, I think I'd still take Tampa Bay. The experience, the star power coming back, all of that. I'll go Carolina money line. I'll take the over. I think it will be an up and down exciting hockey game. But I would say this, Tampa Bay has a humongous advantage in that.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is favored, but I'm taking Carolina moneyline on the sports book that I use, plus 106. So,
not really much.
Not much. But,
not much. No.
Dallas Detroit. I'm going to take the Stars moneyline. They're playing for a playoff spot. They have to play their butts off tonight. The Red Wings have the second worst power play in the league. Stars have the sixth best. I think the Stars are just a better team. And the only way that Detroit would beat them tonight is if something weird happens. I think
something that is really unfortunate, and if I was David Poile, I'd be pretty upset about, is that the Predators got all their games with Detroit before the trade deadline. Dallas gets all of their games after. And so the thing about a true seller, a team that absolutely stinks, is that you know that they're going to unload that roster and they're just going to be going through the motions. Detroit is literally just going through the motions for three more weeks and then they are 1-2-3 Cancun. Like, they are out of here, especially considering that it does look like we're really starting to round third base on the pandemic. I know we've said that a bunch over time, but it really does feel like naturally, like realistically, like we're rounding third base. I think if I was a player on Detroit, I think I'd be packing it up right now. And I think that's what they're doing, and I think it's unfortunate. I think Dallas is going to blow them out.
Yeah, I agree. And the big game. Are you ready?
Big game tonight.
The big dance. I'm taking the Preds money line.
Why?
I think that in addition to the Stars playing for their playoff spot, the Preds know that their playoff chances largely lay in these three games. And I think they're pissed coming off of two losses at Carolina. I think they're going to be coming back angry. And I think they're just them knowing that they have played for so much this season and they're not just going to leave it all on the ice in these next few games. So I'm taking the Preds money line. So I'm also going to take the under 5.5.
So I think Preds fans are going to hate what I'm about to say.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the Predators today too. And I don't know why I'm doing it because, boy, I didn't like what I saw this weekend. I didn't. I mean, not that I was mad at the effort level because I thought the effort level was there, but like Robbie brought up the power play. I mean, their power play is worthless without Ellie Tolvanen and Philip Forsberg.
So bad.
Especially Tolvanen. I mean, they are worthless on the power play right now. This team doesn't seem to have all the ingredients. I mean, I feel like the talent, the lack of talent, is starting to catch up with them with all the injuries. And we've been complaining about this roster for years now. But I think they're going to win today. And if they don't win today, oh, my God. If they don't win today, then we really start crunching numbers about what it looks like the rest of the week if they don't win. Because you have a bad week this week, and you may be buried. And Robbie said, hey, Dallas might pass you with games in hand by beating Detroit a bunch. So they've already picked up 4 points in two games. What's next if you can't beat Chicago? Those are Carolinas. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Predators game day, and of course our worst take of the day, is coming up next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's Hockey Night in Smashville.
Deflex back for Duchene. His shot stopped, and the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now with Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Predators Game Day, again presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Tonight, the Predators 24-21-1. The Blackhawks 21-19-5. A difference of 2 points. We've talked about the importance of this game tonight for the Predators, coming off two losses in a row, three of their last four, after their big heat streak. Again, a win for the Predators raises the odds of making the playoffs. A loss takes it under 20%. John Hines, we go with the coach's take. John Hines was asked about this week so far. Here's what the coach said.
Yeah, just one day at a time, one game at a time, and you know, it's an exciting week. It's what we've talked about of the importance and the excitement of playing in meaningful games where there's a lot in the line, and I think we're excited for the challenge. We've played some good hockey. I think got some things we got to be a little bit better at coming out of the Carolina series, and sometimes you know, you can go through those games and realize some areas you got exposed or things that need to be tightened up. So we felt like had a good meeting this morning, day off yesterday, good skate today. So, you know, we got to be ready to go, firing on all cylinders here tonight.
And they better. Taking a look at the standings, Carolina leads the way, 62 points, Florida 61, Tampa Bay 60. Then come the Predators at 49, but Chicago has a game in hand, Dallas has three. Chicago 47, Dallas 46, and then there's Columbus and Detroit, who are vying for the worst team in the division. Tanner Jeannot has been recalled from the taxi squad, and it looks like they'll use the same lineup that they used on Saturday night against Carolina, which means no Philip Tomasino in the lineup, as that was certainly something I was hoping to see. It is time now for our worst take of the day. First, though, let me tell you all that keep listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, as we will reveal a keyword at some point for you to win $1,000 all throughout the show, or all throughout our shows three times a day. You'll have the opportunity to do that. Caroline, what is our worst take of the day?
The worst take on today's show, as presented by Caroline Fenton.
So you mentioned this very briefly in the show, but you also sent in our show grid this morning, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it. You said that nobody cares about SEC spring games.
Oh, yeah.
I beg to differ.
Nobody here.
Nobody here, maybe, but I don't think it's fair to say that nobody cared about the SEC spring games. You may not have watched them, but I know that there is such a huge following for these spring games, and I know that people are just so thirsty for anything SEC football, and I think that they had a pretty good viewing. I don't have the viewership, I don't have the ratings, but I beg to differ that nobody cared about SEC games, spring games.
And what do you have to back that up?
First of all, Twitter being active about the Alabama spring game, about, you know, whatever spring games.
Now, you know as well as anybody that they always tell you Twitter's not a reflection of actual society, but I know.
Yes, but I don't have a better way to actually reflect society, so that's just my gauge.
I mean, Vanderbilt had a spring game, and they didn't wear numbers.
Well, that's also Vanderbilt football.
I know.
And that's no offense to Vandy fans out there, but I just don't think that – I think they can agree with me that maybe Vanderbilt football isn't the end-all be-all of spring game gauges.
I am a spring football hater. I know Alabama has attention because it's Alabama, and I'll give them that. But, yeah, nah, SEC spring football. Nah, not for me. See you. We're out of here. Preds pregame coming up next. Puck drops 7 o'clock. Big one tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, too.